Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, Fukushima, all places where disasters gave nuclear power a bad rap. But as countries look to cut the pollution that's causing climate change, nuclear is getting a serious second look. Journalist Miles O'Brien has traveled many times to Japan to visit the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. As you'll remember, a massive earthquake and tsunami triggered a meltdown there almost 6 years ago. Miles says he thought he'd be covering the decontamination efforts in Fukushima, but his story took a different turn.
The initial film was to be about the cleanup, and I went into it thinking this is going to be the nail in the coffin for nuclear. But when you really strip away what happened there, what you see are some very old design plants. These were like in mid-60s design. There's a lot of safety measures that have come down the pike since then, and if the Japanese had either closed or improved those plants in significant ways, we would not have had the meltdown. So the important question is nuclear the villain here, or is it inattention to iterating and improving the technology?
So some of the young nuclear scientists you spoke with see climate change as a bigger threat than potential nuclear accidents. Is there a generational divide in public opinion about nuclear and what's at stake?
Well, Marco, you're a much younger man than I, but I will tell you, when I grew up, we ducked and covered and we had fallout drills. And then we moved into an era where we watched Silkwood and we watched the China Syndrome, right, and Three Mile Island happen. All these things are baked in our brains, and there's a stigma that we carry with us on that front. My kids, top of their list is climate change and addressing that. And so they look at the world through that prism. And the question they ask is, well, why isn't this one of the things we are considering? And that's what I wanted to share with an audience. When we talk about moving to a carbon-free future, everybody wants to talk about wind and solar. We're not there yet. We need to store that power somehow. That breakthrough will come. But in the meantime, we've got a problem that is immediate, and we have some technology that could be available sooner. You know, if you really look at the numbers, it's inescapable. You have to consider nuclear. And I think there's growing awareness that this is happening.
So as you point out in the nuclear option, 18,000 people died after the quake tsunami event in March of 2011. No one has died, though, from radiation since the nuclear meltdown, also part of that event. Meanwhile, millions are sickened each year by air pollution that comes in part from fossil fuel power. So you ask the question, is the lesson of Fukushima to go nuclear but be really safe about it? Is there a safe nuclear option?
I think there might be, but we don't know for sure because we really haven't invested in it. We got scared in the 70s and we walked away from this technology. It's percolated along. There are people in certain government installations and more recently some entrepreneurial interest in building a safer version of nuclear. But until a little more investment comes down the pike and a few more of these ideas come to fruition, we can't say for certain. There are some promising ideas that were developed and then stopped and put on a shelf. And it's time to rethink that, I think.
Yeah, so what are some of the ideas that researchers are looking at, maybe pulling off the shelf to kind of develop the next generation of nuclear power?
Well, first and foremost, most of the nuclear reactors in the world are cooled by water. And that poses some significant challenges. The key one being when a nuclear power station loses power, it doesn't have an easy way to safely shut down. The water, it cools the nuclear fuel, quickly boils away. And if you don't have pumps running, that is when you get a meltdown. That's what happened to Fukushima. So the first thing you can do is make these plants have the ability to last longer without power. That's kind of low-hanging fruit, and those plants are actually being built right now. Then you start looking at alternate ways of cooling that hot nuclear core. What if you use something like a liquid metal as a coolant instead of water, which has a much higher boiling point and has a better ability to absorb the heat? It would in many ways make it a lot safer because you don't have to create these huge giant pressure cookers to keep the water under pressure and moving across the hot nuclear core. So liquid sodium is one of these ideas.
And that's been tried before, the liquid metal. Is it coming back?
There is actually some entrepreneurial interest in this, and you'll be interested to know that one of the leading entrepreneurs in this front is no less than Bill Gates himself, the ultimate guy with deep pockets. Mm. He has latched onto an idea which is based on this concept of liquid sodium as a coolant. The company is called TerraPower. It's based in the Seattle area. His former chief technology officer at Microsoft, Nathan Myhrvold, is his partner in the venture. And they are working on a design which is adapted from really the first nuclear power plant back in 1951 in Idaho, which was cooled with sodium. That was shelved because we got interested in water-cooled reactors. Well, maybe it's time to think about sodium again, and that's what Bill Gates is doing. There's a good chance, matter of fact, it's a sure bet, his first customer will be in China, though.
So how does somebody like Bill Gates, how does the whole nuclear research community look at the risks right now, even with a metal-cooled reactor? Liquid metal.
Well, for example, the sodium reactors have their own inherent risks. There's concern because the way they work, they're called breeder reactors. There's a proliferation concern. They generate plutonium. How do you manage that? That's a concern. The sodium itself can be volatile. When it comes in contact with water, you have an explosion. So there are issues to work through here. But there's no free lunch. If you want the lights to go on 24/7, 365, you kind of have to pick your poison. Maybe this is one way to do it if we look at adopting the proper safety measures, because ultimately there are no greenhouse gas emissions coming out the stack.
One other thing that I found striking in your doc, Miles, is the kind of international cooperation that's been taking place, whether it's over new innovations or the metal-cooled reactor, Bill Gates's project going up in China. A lot of Americans are on board, so are many other scientists from other countries. Any thoughts about continuing cooperation in the era of Trump when working with other nations seems kind of less valuable?
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you well know, Marco, I cover the space program quite a bit. And there's been a lot of tension over the years between the U.S. and Russia at a very high level over the space program itself and the partnership with the International Space Station. But when you really get down in the trenches and you talk to the engineers, they're doing great. In other words, at an engineer-to-engineer level, when the conversation is technical and there's a certain Esperanto to all that, we can actually bring the world together. I know that sounds a little bit like I got rose-colored glasses on, but I do believe that's true, and I think these are opportunities we need to continue to pursue.
Miles O'Brien's hour-long Nova special, The Nuclear Option, will air on public television at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. Miles, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure, Marco.